This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
This is your current affairs program, The Rainbow Report, on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, this is Doug Pollard with another magazine of news and current affairs for the Rainbow Crew. Today, the government's omnibus bill, no, nothing to do with public transport, made its debut in Parliament. This is the one bill fixes all solution to the discrimination identified by the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Commission in its report, Same Sex, Same Entitlements. Corey Earlham from the Australian Coalition for Equality will be joining us on the phone later to bring us up to speed. Last week, we got so caught up in talking to Pippa Grange of the AFL Players Association that we never made it to our Queensland reporter. Incidentally, there's more from Pippa in this week's MCV if you're interested. Anyway, we were going to talk about the renegade Brisbane parish that's in hot water with the Vatican for blessing same-sex couples, among other things. Tonight, we'll talk to Karen Walsh from St Mary's, the Catholic Church that's so un-Catholic, according to the Pope anyway, that he wants them thrown out. Now that spring has sprung, thoughts are turning to the upcoming festival season. Registration has opened for those who want to stage an event as part of midsummer, and you have to get in by September 22nd, so you're going to have to get a move on. But first out of the blocks, next weekend in fact, is the famous annual Pride March Bake Off, the fundraiser for Pride March. Yes, it's time to get in touch with your inner Nigella Lawson, or if you're my age, Julia Child. Don the domestic goddess apron and see if you can impress the judges, as Pride March President Brett Hayhoe will explain. And Chill Out is about to launch its new look and theme for 2009. Committee member Renee Ludekens is to give us details on that. Lending a hand tonight is Cathy Anderson from MX, Andy Noonan from BNews, and Hayley Conway, Secretary of VGLRL. And we begin tonight with news from Daylesford, home of the annual Chill Out Festival, as Cathy Anderson talks to organising committee member Renee Ludekens.
Hi Renee, how are you?
Good, thanks Cathy. And yourself?
Yeah, good. All excited about Chill Out already. My goodness, can't believe it's rolled around so soon.
Oh, look, we feel the same way. It's already here. But it looks like it's going to be a really fun festival.
Now, look, you've got a pretty out there theme for this year called Disco Stampede. Do you want to explain your reasonings behind that? What sort of, how much red wine did you guys consume to come up with that one?
Look, this actually came about last year when we were thinking of the theme for last year's one, and that was the Queer as Country Folk. And then we said, oh, let's do a disco one, and we decided we would leave disco for this year. And then after a few bottles of red wine, we decided to expand on it, and now it's moved to the groove, coming up to Disco Stampede. So it's progressed over the last year and a half.
So is this theme going to be covering sort of just the carnival day? Because I know you've got Baba performing there for this year, which is an ABBA tribute band. Is it only just for carnival or for the whole festival?
Oh, the theme will go throughout the whole festival. There'll be people joining in with different events. Like we do have different art events going on. There'll be the bocce, all of the things that were going on last year. And I'm sure there'll be a disco twist to it. The golf tournament, I'm sure Gail, who organises that at Hepburn Golf Course, will make sure there's something glittering happening up there.
Excellent. I can just imagine all the sequins on the tee.
I think something like that will happen for sure.
Now, last year was a big revival for the festival, obviously, because it had a sabbatical the year prior. What sort of things will you keep from last year's festival for 2009?
Well, we'll try and keep a similar program in respect of an opening party, although beforehand we'll have a lunch probably out at one of the restaurants where we look at helping fundraising for a major organisation. Then we'll have the opening party. Then on the Saturday, there'll be various events going on. The Sunday is the Carnival Day and dance party, and Sunday is just a time to slow down and relax.
Okay, so with Carnival Day, are you going to expand the amount of time people are there or the lineup, or what will be different this year?
It probably will be around the same time that we open up, which is, I think, 11 o'clock, finishing around 5, 6-ish, because a lot of people like to go home afterwards, get themselves ready to go to the dance party or go to another event later on that evening. So I don't think will run a lot longer than last year. The lineup, well, we're still working that one out, so I won't go on to who's performing as yet. But there's always performers going on the main stage. There's the dog area. There's another smaller stage area that we had a quieter band playing. So there's things happening throughout the park the whole day.
Excellent. And last year you had one of the bigger, or the main additions was an under-18s event, which was organised by some of the local youth groups. Is that something that will be continuing again?
We hope so. We're still in process working with some people from Kyneton and the Ballarat Youth Group. So at this stage, it's still in the pipeline. So I can't say that it's actually going to happen, but it's certainly happening.
Doug's biting at the tail.
Yeah, I'm going to say don't forget the bush dance, our best innovation last year.
Oh, the bush dance. That was held on Saturday night, and that was wonderful. It really was.
I heard there was a whole lot of men on hay bales, lots of sweat and sort of jam packed into the, what is it, Hepburn Springs?
The Palais.
The Palais, that's right, Hepburn Springs.
It actually moved out into the road and the music was playing and the callers were telling us which way to swivel, and it was just wonderful. A lot of sweaty bodies, but wonderful.
Who knew? Who knew bush dancing could be so fun?
And imagine what that's going to look like if you give that a disco twist.
Oh, good Lord.
Dolly Parton, maybe?
Well, Renee, the dates next year, they clash with the Mardi Gras parade. Are you guys worried about that?
No, I don't think so. People will decide whether they want to go up to Sydney or stay down here. No, I don't think it's a real problem. There's plenty of people, there's plenty of events. No, I don't think it will be a problem.
I guess it depends how much everyone spends in midsummer, really, doesn't it? So I was just going to say, you talked before about before the opening party. I know last year you had a lunch that was a charity event. What's Chillat's major charity this year?
At the moment, we're still working with Alana Madeline to looking at the Better Buddies, extending that program, and we're still negotiating with other organisations on how their fundraising is and how we can support them. So at the moment, I can't commit to say who it is, but probably in the next week or two, once it gets finalised, we can say this is what's happening.
Awesome.
Thanks very much for that, Renee.
Thank you.
I think you covered the ground nicely for us.
Look, it'll be such a fun weekend. It really will, with all the disco events that are happening and town's alive, and it's just gorgeous to see everyone pulling together to support the gay and lesbian community.
Well, I've already been in touch with Kay Surratt, and I've asked her to make me a nice shiny satin disco outfit for the for the day, and she said, just go down to Spotlight, darling, and buy, 10 metres of whatever you like.
we'll get two then. I'll have one as well.
Okay. Thanks very much, Renee. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
That was Renee Ludikins from the Chill Out Organising Committee. Of course, I'm also a member of that. I ought to issue my little disclaimer there. In fact, I'm the president this year of Chill Out.
Head hunter.
Yeah, that's why I've got to have a special outfit, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah,
should it be
all
red?
Sparkles.
Well, I'm going to have trouble finding the platform boots, because I threw away all my platform boots. But I've got fond memories of a lovely pair of yellow satin flares I used to have.
Oh, Doug, yellow on you now. I don't know. I just don't know.
Humpty Dumpty with the yoke on the outside. Yeah, you
know. Ooh, okay, picture thoughts.
Or you could say the yoke's on me.
Lucky we're in radio. Yeah.
Yes. TV. Use your imagination, folks. Use your imagination.
Doug severely outnumbered by chicks. tonight.
Yes, I was saying earlier on, you know, I made that crack about a lesbian tag team the last time I had two of you on. I think I had a lesbian relay team.
Yeah, let's see a trio.
And your boy. Yeah, well, I'm safe in my little corner over here. If you want any more information on Chill Out, in a couple of days, the website will be going up. There's also a Facebook page, so we will be keeping you informed. And while we're talking about the general Daylesford area, I'd just like to bring your attention to Way Out, a group of same-sex attracted young people and their friends from Macedon Rangers Shire. They've got a special event coming up. They're aiming to bring together as many people as possible from all walks of life to join for the biggest possible community photo against homophobia and discrimination. And if you turn up for it, you'll get a free baseball cap. That's on Sunday the 14th at 2 o'clock after the Daffodil Parade, Kyneton Shire Hall. And you can go to wayout.org.au or the Way Out group on MySpace for more information.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. If you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Informing, entertaining and provoking, this is The Rainbow Report.
Yes, and I'm your host, Doug Pollard. With me tonight, Kathy Anderson, Hayley Conway and Andy Noonan. Yes, it's practically an all-female show tonight. I'll have to nip out and put a frock on, I think. Actually, I'd be the only one in here wearing one. Now, as surely as night follows day, the government brings in legislation to address our inequality, and the Liberal Party starts blocking it. Today, new piece of legislation came into Parliament, the Omnibus Bill, so-called, and I'm wondering if that's going to be any different. On the line now is Corey Earlham from the Australian Coalition for Equality. How'd it go today, Corey?
Look, Doug, you're spot on the money. I wouldn't quite say they're blocking it, but at 9:30 the bill was introduced and by 4:05 they're sent it to a Senate committee. Thankfully this time, though, the Senate committee will report on 30th of September rather than a three-month time frame, so that'll come in at the same time as the superannuation inquiry. So there'll be a bit of weekend work because I only prepare over 200 pages of legislation to have a read through and get something ready for the Senate inquiry submission just to tweak some of the things we talked to them about last time and focused it on this bill. But all in all, it's a positive bill. It's got 58 pieces of legislation, which brings the total to 85. Obviously, they announced about 100. We're still clarifying how that all works. But good steps forward.
Corey, it's Andy here. I just wanted to ask you, the report for the last family law bill that just went through, how much will that sort of direct what will move forward with the Omnibus Bill?
Look, the Family Law Act amendments for access to de facto to the family court doesn't really affect much of the Omnibus Bill other than to say that the Family Law Court report recommends 60H should be amended. And that means that unless 60H is amended, things like the family law parenting presumptions aren't recognised, and the flow-on effects of that is things like child support wouldn't be recognised. So they're not in the Omnibus Bill because of that recommendation that still hasn't been responded to by the government as yet. So hopefully we'll find out something more about that in the coming weeks when Parliament comes back and that bill comes up for debate in the Senate.
Okay, Corey, 68 pieces of legislation. The number of pieces of law this thing is supposed to amend seems to have changed, because yesterday's reports were all talking about 99. What happened to the 31?
Well, obviously, Doug, this adds on to the super. So it brings across the five pieces of legislation, the Family Law Amendment, the Evidence Act, the National Employment Standards for Workplace Relations, the Superannuation Bill, and this bill, brings the total to 85. Mm-hmm. And then there's 15 pieces, if we quote that 100 or 99, that hasn't been clarified as yet. I suspect there's a couple of things as to why that's the case. One is some bills may have a reference to the bills that are being amended, such as the Income Tax Assessment Act. So we know that the Medicare Act that was identified by Herriot doesn't need to be amended because the Income Tax Act is amended. So we'll be working through that diligently to make sure that everything's being done, and then calling on the government to explain why certain things aren't being done, if that happens to be the case. We're not clear at this point.
Okay, so what you're saying is that some of the things they aren't doing straight away, they have to do these other things first.
No, what I'm saying is by doing some of these things, it will automatically change other things.
Okay. Now, what's the actual benefit of all this for the ordinary fag and dyke in the street, if I can put it that way?
They'll be treated exactly like their heterosexual family. If they're in a relationship and their heterosexual partner is in the exact same situation, heterosexual brother, I should say, and their partner is in the same situation as them, and they are currently entitled to tax breaks or Medicare limits, etc., this will enable same-sex families to be treated exactly the same way.
Kathy?
Yeah, Corey, if you said it's going to the Senate committee, what sort of information do you have on the people that are actually involved in that, and what sort of recommendations can we expect from the inquiry?
Look, there's 8 members on the committee. 4 are Labor, 1 is Sarah Hanson-Young from the Greens, and 3 are from the Liberal Party. It's a balance between Conservative and moderate members. However, all members of the committee supported amending Section 68. So that goes to show you that it's not perhaps the traditional right and left view on this. This is about the best interests of children, best interests of same-sex families, and removing discrimination, which in principle everybody agrees. It's just about how you go about doing it.
Any indication of what likely objections are going to be? I mean, we saw all this stuff about how you define couples popping up out of nowhere because it might impinge on marriage. Is there going to be any of that kind of stuff coming up in relation to this omnibus bill, do you think?
I suspect not, because the government listened to those concerns, and they've not done that this time with the omnibus bill. What they've done is introduce the term de facto partner side by side with spouse. So we're not going to have that perception that marriage is being attacked, which, you know, for the listener's view, it wasn't being attacked before. It was just making sure it was equal. This is just another way to achieve the same goal.
Right. And what's the chances?
Look, I think this bill has every success chance, along with superannuation, with minor tweakings. The issues in this bill are nothing new to the Senate committee. They dealt with it all in the superannuation bill. I can't see this report being delayed past the 30th of September. It may even be tabled earlier.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. You know, our opposition does have a knack of pulling rabbits out of the hat to delay things. Maybe we are finally getting to the end of this very long road.
Absolutely. And on another note, Doug, if I can talk about something else that happened today.
Why not?
The Human Rights Commissioner sent out a press release talked about...
Yeah.
The Sex Discrimination Commissioner, Catherine Broderick.
Oh, yeah.
And their submission into the Senate inquiry into the Sex Discrimination Act recommends an inquiry for an Equality Act, including same-sex people, gender-diverse people, and sex-identifying people. So what they're basically saying is the government should look at introducing a federal piece of anti-discrimination legislation, and they should do that as part of this inquiry into Phase 2 over a 3-year investigation, and bring all those discrimination acts into one act. So that's going to be something that I think the community is going to be wanting to talk about in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that would follow the model that's been followed in the UK, isn't it? Because they've done that there. They took the Racial Discrimination Act as a model, and then they rolled in sex discrimination and sexual orientation discrimination into that.
Absolutely, and hopefully the AFL will follow suit.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed. I think you mean the ALP. okay, thanks very much for that, Corey. I'll let you get back to work.
Thanks.
Cheers. In fact, it almost sounded like he was working the street there.
Yeah, Canberra's a very busy place.
Yeah. It is. What do you think, Kathy? I mean, I'm slightly kind of cynical about these things because they always seem to go wrong at the last minute, but are we nearly there?
Well, the fact that they've put together an omnibus bill is kind of... is heartening, really, don't you think? Mm. I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about the report from the Human Rights Commission and all those pieces of legislation. I think it's quite good. And considering that the Senate committee sounds like it's full of friendlies, you were nodding, Hayley, when we were mentioning the Greens.
Oh, look, I think there's a special place in my heart for Sarah Hanson-Young and the role that she's about to take up following in from Kerry Nettle and the work that she did in the Senate for the Greens and on behalf of our community. So I think that she will probably play quite an important role in pushing the amendments that I think we would find to be most inclusive of the GLBTIQ community, and that will be fairly important if, I guess, ending in any actual results in the positive for us. So,
because you've been down to Canberra a bit lately and talking legislation, meeting and greeting and pressing the flesh.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is it going to get through?
Look, I think it will get through, but it will just be about how much mileage, I guess, each party gets out of it, and that the reality is that if they wanted to pass a really meaningful omnibus bill, they could do that and they could change everything all in one big go, and it would be about not just saying, well, you know, we'll give tax breaks to couples, but we'll also give, you know, we'll start talking about changes to education and that kind of thing that will actually make meaningful social change for the children of people who have same-sex attracted parents, as well as for same-sex attracted children who are in school, and seeing, you know, massive across the board change rather than just saying, well, tax breaks, that's a start, and it's almost like being married, which is in reality what this omnibus bill really says.
I noticed the Attorney General today made a big thing about the whole thing about families and children. He said that of course, it addresses a long-standing discrimination against same-sex couples, but more importantly, their families and their children. Now, that's kind of new, isn't it? This emphasis on our children, because in the past that's been kind of, you know, kept in the background a bit. That's going very much on the front foot, don't you think?
It was, in my opinion, it definitely is a step forward in terms of mentioning that, you know, it's not just about, you know, I guess, double income, no kids kind of bracket that we're so used to being referred to as. But, I think it, you know, it's time to start looking at it not just as families as well, but also as people who are currently within the school system and therefore being affected by this, and people who are... I think there's a much broader range of things that haven't been looked at yet, and we've still got a long way to go.
Sarah Hudson-Young actually said the other day that the Greens certainly are putting marriage on the table. That's very much on the table as far as they're concerned still, and may not be obviously for these pieces of legislation because it doesn't mention marriage, but she certainly said that. But is there any risk, and I know that Louise Pratt also mentioned marriage in her speech in Parliament the other day, is there any sort of hesitation that mentioning marriage at this sort of delicate point may tip Conservative views to sort of arc up and say, no, you know, this might be a precursor, we'll stop it now? But is that ever a concern?
I guess, look, I would think it's a risk in terms of, you know, how much will slander will the Greens or, you know, particularly progressive members of the ALP have to face when taking a stand for same-sex marriage and that sort of thing. So it will be a risk for them. But the reality is that, we need to wait for a caucus decision to come out of the ALP. And as soon as, you know, once that happens, then we'll know where it will go. But Conservatives who are against it are already against it anyway. And I don't think it's going to change their votes at all. They're just going to get a bit more press out of it.
Yeah, and I think now with the election of the Rudd government and with the people like Louise Pratt and Sarah being very kind of open about things, I think it's kind of changed the terms of the debate. Previously, we were all being very, very sort of careful not to mention certain things, not to talk about marriage, not to talk about children, adoption, artificial
insemination. You get what you're given when it's good and ready.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Whereas now everybody seems to be much more willing to talk about these things, and that in itself, I think, is a very healthy sign.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au.
Informing, entertaining and provoking. This is the Rainbow Report.
Now, St Mary's Brisbane is a most unusual Catholic parish. So unusual, in fact, the Pope and the local Archbishop think he might not even be Catholic at all. On the line now, we have Karen Walsh from St Mary's. Good evening, Karen.
Hello.
So what role do you play in St Mary's?
I'm a community member and I'm coordinator of MICA Projects, which is a not-for-profit organisation that works from a social justice base.
So what's so different about St Mary's? Why has this got the hierarchy all upset with you?
Basically, we consider that we are a Vatican II community and that we are trying to have a church that is welcoming and inclusive and have liturgical practices that are participatory. We don't considerably think that we're that different.
So what do you mean by participatory liturgical practices?
Oh, well,
can you just explain what that means?
Basically, people are allowed, you know, women do give homilies and the community does join in prayers, although these are some of the things that we have to reflect on in relation to what has occurred with the Archbishop.
Yes, I understand he wasn't very happy about you dropping references to Father, Son and Holy Ghost and using non-sexist language.
That was an issue, but that has been rectified where the baptism, it was requested for a determination from Rome as to whether using the words creator, sustainer and liberator was appropriate. So the words Father, Son and Holy Spirit are now used in the baptism and have been for some time ever since that issue.
Right.
Along with, you know, creator, sustainer and liberator.
You are also inclusive of other faiths in the sense that you have like connections with other faiths as well, don't you? There was
spirit of St. Mary's is to respect the spiritual journey that people have, but the liturgical practices are definitely the Catholic Eucharist. And some of, you know, I suppose the attempt has been to make that in a more welcoming, you know, the seating of the church is not your traditional seating, but that's hardly a radical thing.
It's the glasses that keep throwing me.
Karen, I just wanted to ask, what's been the response from parishioners?
There's a sense of it's a serious issue, that we need to reflect on it with consideration and that we want to maintain our integrity. Certainly, we don't believe that the practices of the community are out of line with Vatican II. We understand that they may be out of line with some interpretations of liturgy in more recent years, but as a people of faith, people have had a passion for the, you know, views and theology that Vatican II brought into Catholicism, and we don't believe that practicing as a community does any harm to anyone else.
It sounds to me like you're being what I would call Christian.
Certainly, we believe that we're Christian.
Yeah,
and I don't think we think all parishes have to follow. We just want to be able to live with the integrity and faith that the community, and we support the priests who have been the leaders in the liturgical practice and in having a more participatory dynamic, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, you've been very welcoming to the gay and lesbian community, which is obviously our listenership down here. For example, does the gay and lesbian choir still rehearse at St. Mary's?
Yes. We've been proud supporters of the gay and lesbian choir, and they continue to be there. We hope there's no move to close access for anybody who uses the church.
And do you bless gay and lesbian relationships at St. Mary's?
Look, it's not something that is advertised out there, but if there have been members of the community who have had their relationship blessed in a ritual, but, you know, it wasn't the sacrament.
Okay.
But,
now, the Archbishop wrote a letter recently sort of asking for a kind of please explain, I suppose, for want of a better word for it. Has the parish now responded to that letter?
There has been some initial response around that we have agreed at this point to use an approved Eucharistic prayer and the priest is going to wear an alb. But in addition to that, we are called for expressions of interest for a steering committee. We had 520 people attend the meeting. And we are going to be looking at the future of St. Mary's and how do we maintain the integrity of who we are alongside some of the issues and concerns that have been raised. But it's very clear that people do see themselves as in communion with the Catholic Church.
Right. Well, the best of luck with it all, Karen. It sounds like you're doing some good work there. Do keep it up. And thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Yes. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Karen Walsh from St. Mary's Brisbane. As I said, a most unusual sort of...
Very unusual.
...Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I've got a thing here, some comments from Stephen Crittenden, who was talking about this on the ABC recently. And apparently the Archbishop has called in the priests for face-to-face meetings and all this kind of thing. So it's all fairly serious.
Isn't most of that over a statue that looks like a Buddhist monk as opposed to, you know, blessings?
That was kind of what triggered it, because apparently there was a statue of a Buddhist monk praying in the church.
Wow.
Because they do reach out to other religions and other denominations and they do worship, or they did worship together with other other groups.
But surely that's not that's part of being a part of the Catholic Church. I know they have they certainly have sort of denominational.
They didn't like this for some reason. A parishioner objected to this statue of a monk and took photographs of it and sent it off to Rome, which apparently
sent it to the Pope.
Precipitated
Joseph,
all this.
Check this out.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've got to sort out our churches in Brisbane. Something's rotten.
And then apparently he took the statue out into the garden of the church and smashed it.
It's all espionage and
really,
intrigue,
really
though, isn't it? It's all like photos.
He said Brisbane was boring.
Yeah,
really,
exactly.
Really inclusive and multi denominational and open and welcoming and loving there, wasn't he? You know, take the sledgehammer to a statue.
So it's all surprises from the, yeah.
But isn't it strange? I mean, she kept talking about Vatican II, which, of course, was, for those who are not steeped in Catholic doctrine, is when we had Pope John the 23rd on the throne. And he, that was when we got rid of the Latin Mass, when the Mass started to be spoken in ordinary English or whatever the language of the country was, and when the whole church started to kind of open up. And of course, the current Pope is totally against that. He's bringing back the Latin Mass. He's bringing back, you know, the authority rests in the priests and nowhere else. He's totally opposed to the whole Vatican II thing. So it's not surprising they've kind of collided. But it's a bit like, I don't know, Catholic version of Nimbin, you know. About, this parish sounds like a place that time forgot, so to speak. And someone has reminded the Pope that it's there.
Yeah. Well, they're not allowed at the back eating space cookies, though, are they?
Well, they could be.
That we know.
It is Brisbane.
No. They just have the little wafers as well. You're listening to The Rainbow Report with Doug Pollard.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station.
Keeping the GLBTI community up to date, this is The Rainbow Report.
Yes, and keep all those questions and comments coming. I've got one here from Steve the Truckee. Hello, Steve. I see marriage as a personal choice that is interpreted by the couple as their declaration. However, equal rights should be everyone's entitlement. Well, I don't think any of us are going to disagree much with that one.
No.
People get so het up over these words. Obviously a lot more powerful than people give them credit for. Anyway, I think it would be fair to say that our next guest tonight does so much, and he's been around so long, he practically qualifies for heritage listing. And so does the event he's going to tell us about. I'm talking, of course, about the Pride March Bake Off, and, of course, the Pride March President, Brett Hayhoe. Good evening, Mr. President.
Good evening, Doug. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So, Bake Off's coming round again.
Yes, indeed. Quite an exciting time on the calendar.
And you've made a few changes this year, haven't you?
Well, basically what we've done is we've tried to bring Bake Off back to being what it should be and what it always has been. It lost its sort of way for a little while, like you know, well, Pride March is 14 years old, so I guess we can expect it to act like a little naughty teenager sometimes. So it lost its way for a couple of years, but it's certainly back on track with a good slap around the head and a new suit and tie. And look, we brought Bake Off back to the community. Pride March has always been the event on the calendar that is by the community, for the community, and why shouldn't the major fundraiser for that event be the same? So we've brought it back to the community. A lot of people were going out and just buying their cakes and entering them over the years, and of course
that's
what a joke.
It was probably a nice easy way to do it. And at the end of the day, I mean, at the end of the day, there are two parts of Bake Off. One is the cake baking and all of that sort of fun, but the other part is also a fundraising arm, which is a very serious one. So of course, as an auction type thing, those cakes certainly got a lot of money. But they it was sort of everybody just went out to their favourite cake shop and bought a cake. So what we've done this year is, if you make the cake yourself, whether you're an individual or a community organisation, it only costs you $5 to enter that cake, whether that be a cake, a novelty or a biscuit, being the three categories. But if you've gone to a shop to get them, or if you are a store and you're entering, it will cost you $20 to enter.
Right, so you're going back to sort of Country Women's Association standards.
Absolutely, and it's where it should be. It's where the fun is about as well. I mean, I remember many, many years when I was involved with another organisation, and we had a Saturday afternoon at someone's house and cooked.
Yeah, well, I remember, I mean, Damien Nicholas used to bring an oven, actually, into the studio here at Joy and bake live on air.
Absolutely. Not terribly visually stimulating, but certainly a lot of fun.
That's a great, great idea for radio, great, that. Yeah. This is obviously going to be a lot more fun because people are, you know, you're obviously going to get some things that are a wee bit on the daggy side coming out of this, which is going to be as much fun, I should thought, as all the glossy productions you get.
Absolutely. And the other thing too, Doug, is that this year we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Our Gay Flag. I'm expecting some very colourful entries this year as well.
Oh, well, it had better make the most of it because it won't get any dates after this year then, now that it's hit 30. Gay men don't get dates after 30, you know?
Well, yes, tell me about it, Sven.
This is actually your only fundraiser for Pride March, isn't it? Am I right
to say? It certainly is. On an annual basis, this is the fundraising event that Pride March Victoria does. Obviously, on the day of Pride March itself, we make money from the bars, we make money from selling merchandise.
Sure.
But this is our fundraising event. This is the event of the year that you can come along and support Pride March, buy some cakes at the auction, make them first, of course, then, of course, buy somebody else's. You may be lucky enough to get Tex McKenzie's special cake for a special price and have a very special evening.
I see. Okay. All right. We won't go there. Tell us when and where this is taking place, Brett.
Saturday the 13th, which is next Saturday, not this Saturday, at the Yorkshire Stingo Hotel, corner Hoddle and Langridge Streets in Abbotsford, which is really... The Yorkshire's a beautiful... The Stingo is a gorgeous little pub, and one of the big things that we've found on the bake-offs that haven't worked is that they've been in bigger venues. The thing with bake-off is it needs to be nice and cuddly and warm, and the front bar at Stingo's is like that. The decor is beautiful, big bar, and the warmer people get, the shorter their pockets and the longer their arms.
Well, yeah, especially if they don't have to walk very far to get another drink.
Precisely.
Okay, well, thanks for that, Brett, and hope you get a really nice lump of money out of it this year.
My pleasure too. The registrations, by the way, Doug, start at midday on the 13th. The judging starts at 1:30, and then Lindsay kicks off the auction at 3:00 that afternoon.
Okay. Well, no doubt we'll be hearing you on Joy telling us more about it before the day, and we'll definitely be reminding people.
Fabulous.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
That was Brett Hayhoe, the president of Pride March. I get a bit lost among his titles sometimes.
Yes, I know. He's man about the town,
isn't
he?
He's definitely man about town.
Finger in every pie, if you will.
Ouch. Ouch.
I want to know what cake you're going to make, Doug.
I have never baked a cake for Pride Bake Off. Maybe I will this year because.
Mm. Have you been a cheater? Have you bought your?
No, Sarah Lee specialist.
No. But last year, my darling hubby bought me a copy of Nigella Lawson's book, How to Be a Domestic Goddess, and I've been practicing ever since.
Does that involve an outfit?
Is there an actual cooking in that, or?
But it seems to involve a great deal of licking your fingers and sort of leaning your bosom over the stove.
That's enough, Doug. We're all getting out of you now. This is nothing. It's a family show.
But I have actually managed to turn out some pretty credible cakes, as house guests of mine and others will testify. So.
Quick lineup.
I wonder if there's going to be any. There'll be lots of rude cakes there. Where went there? Prague?
Oh, well, they're usually
nodding profusely. Sure. There must be. Yeah.
There almost always are. I mean, you know, it's absolutely inevitable. There's the usual genitalia that always turn up.
Lots of Lamingtons involved.
Usually with bright green icing for some best known reason. And we've had certainly a large number of breasts in the past.
Oh.
Now, homophobia in football is an issue that just isn't going to go away. There's articles by Richard Watts and myself, though I say it, in this week's MCV. There's also a community forum coming up soon to talk about this issue right here at Joy, organised in response to Jeff Kennett's infamous remarks. It will talk about what's already happened, discuss what part homophobia plays in, and I quote, LGBTIQ Victorians' sporting lives, and talk about planning a way forward, including organising a midsummer event featuring several former Olympians. That'll be here at Joy, the City Village in Bourke Street, Wednesday the 24th September from 5:30 for a 6 p.m. start. And if you want to come, you're going to have to RSVP because numbers are going to be limited. You have to get your answer in by the 17th of September to Daniel at prideandprejudice.com.au. So that's answers by Wednesday, 17th September. The meeting's on the 24th. RSVP to Daniel at prideandprejudice.com.au. With her own inimitable look this week beneath the bonnet, please welcome Miss Kay Thurrah.
Last night I had a very strange dream. It was set in Canberra, of all places, in the Federal Parliament. At the beginning of the dream, I was walking down a long corridor, and there was a line of mirror balls all rotating, creating an eerie feeling. You know that feeling you get from an abandoned dance floor? Either side of the hall were a number of glass doors. Behind one, Julia Gillard was reading aloud to a class of ministers. Her book was titled Heather Has Two Mummies, which sounded like a lot of fun, but the class was very rowdy and Julia was having a hard time maintaining control. Behind another door, labelled Back Room, there was moaning and groaning, so I guess that must have been some internal ministerial business or something. Oh, I forgot to say, in this dream, I was dressed in a pretty blue gingham dress with puff sleeves, just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. At the end of the hallway was an unmarked door, behind which there seemed to be a very important meeting going on. I peered in and I saw three people seated before a throne. The man on the throne was completely naked, except for a crown and a velvet robe that only just managed to cover up his wiggly bits. I think I'll call him King Kevin, because he looked a lot like the Prime Minister. One of the characters seated in front of the throne looked like Bob Brown, only he was wearing armour, just like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. The other was a dead ringer for Steve Fielding. He was dressed up as the Scarecrow. The third person was very peculiar indeed. She was a cross between a cowardly lion and Hello Kitty. Actually, on closer inspection, she could well have been Penny Wong, but I can't be entirely sure. After all, it was only a dream. They all seemed to be arguing about the omnibus bill or something like that. And every time the words gay or lesbian came up, King Kevin winced. I could tell he was nervous because he was fiddling with his wedding ring and he kept looking out the window. You see, there was a protest in the parliamentary forecourt. An angry bunch of munchkins had rallied and they were waving placards that read Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. One of the protesters had gone the whole hog, dressing up in a loincloth and dragging a big cross. He looked very silly. He had green skin like the Wicked Witch. Actually, he looked a lot like Cardinal George Pell. Back in the office, Bob was getting really pissed off, thumping his axe on the table and shouting about discrimination. Steve the Scarecrow seemed to be having trouble understanding, scratching his straw head and asking, "What's a lesbian and what's discrimination?" All the while, Hello Kitty was silent. She seemed to lack the courage to speak out. But then, that might have been because of her tiny, tiny Hello Kitty mouth. Finally, King Kevin called an end to the meeting, muttering something about a committee of review or something. The next thing I knew, I was on my way out of the building and crossing the forecourt. As I passed the protest, the Wicked Witch in the loincloth thrust a leaflet into my hands. It read, "Family first, homos last." I wanted to tell him about my extended family back in Kansas. You know, Auntie M and Uncle Henry and all my farm friends. But I couldn't be bothered. So I just clicked my heels three times to make him disappear. It was a very strange dream. I'm Kay Sarar, and if you think I'm a candidate for psychoanalysis, you just might be right.
Oh, I think we definitely are there. What a strange lady. Well, I guess we knew that already. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it all there. Thanks to my guests tonight, to Cathy Anderson, Andy Noonan and Hayley Conway, Corey Earlham, Brett Hayhoe from Pride March Victoria, Karen Walsh from St Mary's in Brisbane, Renee Ludikins from Dalesford Chillout, and of course the incomparable Kay Sarar. And not forgetting you, thanks for your calls and messages. Don't forget you can now access podcasts of the programme on the Joy website, as well as a blog at rainbowreporter.com. Big thanks to my producer Bianca Johnston, technical producer Michael, and I'll be back next week with another edition of the Rainbow Report.
This has been a Joy 94.9 News and Current Affairs presentation.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.